As you heard, the title of my message is Clean or Dirty. Well, the theme is quite evident of what we have been hearing about lately. Getting ourselves prepared for what's coming in the next few days. Preparing ourselves physically and in the leavening of our homes. As well as spiritually examining ourselves to see how we are doing in a relationship with God. Making sure that God's people, baptized members of the Church of God, can take the Passover in a worthy manner. This is something we've been hearing a lot about lately. But as I mentioned before, this isn't just a one-time thing at a certain time, but this is something we need to do on a constant basis. Always making sure that we are spiritually clean and sober and strong in our faith and our obedience. How we live our lives and what we think about is also important. The responsibility that we hold is exactly what we must not let go of. We do have a responsibility to live a life pleasing to God, and He expects that of us, for God has called us out of this world, and we have responded to that calling, and that is why we are here now, observing the Sabbath day. Getting ready to observe the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And before that comes, we are all now in a cleaning phase. Cleaning our homes, cleaning our cars, which is a task all on its own, which we never like doing. I mean, who really likes to clean? But after we are done, we feel a sense of accomplishment. We feel clean, don't we? It's refreshing. And then we have to make sure that we don't eat anything sinful. Another challenge. That is anything leavened during the 7 days. Now, when it comes to foods that we eat, no doubt the quality of food has diminished over time. The foods that we eat today, how they are grown, how they are processed, how they are sold at the grocery stores, not to mention the different varieties and ingredients. This can't even be compared to how it was in the biblical times. Everything was pretty much organic then, especially when it came to fruits and vegetables. But that is not the case today. And everything today considered organic and healthy is also a lot more expensive. A lot of people can't afford that, to buy foods that are that expensive, not to mention will spoil a lot faster than foods that are processed and all that. Now, there is a list of fruits and vegetables that are considered clean and dirty, which you can find anywhere on the internet. In fact, we have a list of this on our refrigerator. We have a dirty list and we have a clean list of the fruits and vegetables that are on there. Now, this has to do with both that are most contaminated by pesticides. The Dirty Dozen, you may have heard of that. This includes the following: strawberries, spinach, kale, collard and mustard greens, peaches, pears, nectarines, apples, grapes, bell peppers, cherries, blueberries, and green beans. It is recommended that we should buy these organic. Why is this? Here are some facts about these dirty fruits and vegetables. Via the Environmental Working Group, more than 90% of samples of strawberries, apples, cherries, spinach, nectarines, and grapes tested positive for residues of two or more pesticides. A total of 210 pesticides were found on the Dirty Dozen items. Of those, over 50 different pesticides were detected on every type of crop on the list, except for cherries. All of the produce on the Dirty Dozen had at least one sample with at least 13 different pesticides, and some had as many as 23. Kale, collard, and mustard greens, as well as hot peppers and bell peppers, had the most pesticides detected of any crop, 103 to 101 pesticides in total. The neurotoxic organophosphate insecticide acephate prohibited from use on green beans in 2011 was detected on 6% of green bean samples. It's pretty disgusting if you think about it. What's all on these types of fruits and vegetables that were mentioned? That was not the case back then, but that is the case now. Now, they also have a clean list. They call the Clean 15, and it includes which are okay to buy conventional, not organic, and they are avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, onions, papayas, sweet peas, asparagus, honeydew melons, kiwi, cabbage, mushrooms, mangoes, sweet potatoes, watermelon, and carrots. Now, with these 15, almost 65% of these fruits and vegetable samples had no detectable pesticide residues. Avocados and sweet corn were the cleanest produce. Less than 2% of samples showed any detectable pesticides. Just over 10% of the clean 15 fruit and vegetable samples had residues of two or more pesticides. And no sample from the first six that I mentioned tested positive for more than three pesticides. What really matters is how the food was grown. Some smaller farms use all organic practices but haven't gone through the full organic certification process yet because it can be very expensive for a small business. So, suggesting to getting to know your local farms and stands at the farmer's market, and you can ask about the farm's practices if you choose to do so, would be, you know, helpful. But doing research like this could be time consuming. And still, in the end, how do you really know what you are getting unless you are growing everything yourself? Now, this analogy of what is clean and dirty sums up what our lives consist of today, what we are surrounded by. Being clean in a dirty and sinful and poisonous world is quite a challenge, and it's an ongoing effort to remain clean. David understood this very well in Psalm 51, in verses 1 and 2. I mean, obviously, constantly praying to God for help throughout his life. But he realized what type of a person he was too, being human. Psalm 51, verse 1. He pleads to God, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Even when we do buy fruits and vegetables at the store, do you eat them right away or do you wash them first, no matter if they're organic or not? You want to wash them before consuming them. Keep in mind that washing produce doesn't necessarily get rid of all pesticides and chemicals as it grows into the entire plant, but it can reduce your risk and exposure to be sure to always wash everything thoroughly. Now, we are not exempt from sin by living in this world anyhow, and we do still sin from time to time, but recognizing it and doing something about it is on us. Notice 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. First John chapter 1, beginning verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Yes, we sinned in the past. Okay, we were baptized, yet we still take the Passover ceremony every year. We still do sin now, No one here is perfect. But recognizing it and doing something about it is the key. Dirt always finds a way, and we constantly clean, also in a spiritual sense. Notice Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. We read, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." Romans 12, 9, just citing it, further elaborates, saying, not just ceasing from evil, but also cling to what is good. Now, we will once again have the opportunity to cleanse ourselves during the Passover service, especially, specifically during the foot washing ceremony, which is a necessary step for salvation, to be a part, continue being a part of Christ as begotten members of God's family. Let's notice 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Second Corinthians 7 verse 1, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And these promises that we have are further elaborated in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 3. 1 John 3 and verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know, and when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're still flesh and blood today, and we have not been changed yet to what is going to happen in the future, to be changed as spirit beings. And when this is revealed to the whole world, that is, when Christ comes back with power and glory to establish the kingdom of God on earth, everyone will know that. We already know that's going to happen. This is a promise that we know is coming. In verse 3, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So again, this is the hope that we all have. The reason why we are doing what we are doing today, what we are preparing for, and doing our best to be clean in this unclean world.